plate a potential nugget.
Going back to that stint when you were heading McKinsey, Rajat, what sorts of things, how did you spend your time and attention? And I guess in a way you had three terms. So I'm curious about, as a leader, if you could talk about just if you've got partners, capable partners driving their own ship, therefore, what's the role of the leader and what sorts of things does he or she spend time on to move the firm forward?
So I was at a fairly unique time. I became managing partner, and I was the first managing partner who joined the firm after Marvin Bower retired. Okay. So Marvin Bower was the de facto founder of the firm and shaped the values of the firm very much. And most of the managing, all of the managing directors before me were mentored by Marvin. Now, Marvin was still active when I joined the firm, but had formally retired. And, you know, he used to come to the office, but basically he had... he showed up in many, many things. But that's an interesting, you know, it's like a real transition in the firm where you didn't grow up under the founder, but you came after that. I was also... 45 when I got elected, and was really a transition to the next generation of firm leaders. I was also the first non-American to be elected managing partner. I was also the first managing partner to be elected outside New York. I mean, I was the Chicago office manager when I got elected. So all of that, you know, had a kind of a, I don't know. It was sort of change in a way that was, and I decided not to move to New York. I decided to stay in Chicago. So here was the, you know, supposedly the center of the firm was New York. It clearly said, no, not really. New York is just another office, and there are many offices. So there were a lot of signals of change in my first term as managing director. I undertook a strategy project for the firm, which most managing directors do. But I had thought about it in a very different way. I thought about it as a process. You know, normally when you do a strategy, you pick maybe a task force of 10, 15 partners and you say, go and think about it for 6 months and do your analysis, just like a client strategy team, and you come back. And I felt that was not the right process for us, and that what we should be doing is to involve a very large number of people and a very large number of principals, which is the junior partners, so that they could deliberate on the direction they want to take their firm, because they were future leaders of the firm. And also that we would have a very involved process, which eventually took about 2 years. So it was a long process where you have a process of dialogue amongst partners shaped by this very large team that did that. And we would come together and deliberate and came out of that sort of directional themes for the firm. It was a very successful process, you know, because by the time we got to the end of it, about half of it was already implemented because people thought the idea was good. We would go and do something, and there's still the process. It wasn't like, here's the strategy report, you know. So the first term was consumed by that, in addition to the normal activities that a managing director does, which is, you know, make appointments, visit offices, visit clients. The other thing I did was very much, everywhere I went, I visited clients. I mean, I talked to clients. I never actually gave up client service because one of the things I always said, this is a client service firm. So even as a managing partner, I was introducing clients, helping in client teams and so on, because I thought I must keep a hand in client service. The second term was sort of more consumed by governance issues. Now, the firm was growing very fast. It was now had a global footprint. Previously, it was more a North American, European firm with some offices. We had Tokyo office and we had Hong Kong office and something. But basically, we rapidly opened another 20 or so offices in around the world. And I believe that we should have a global footprint, much like our clients were getting global footprints. So in order to serve them effectively, we should have a global footprint ourselves, or perhaps even a more extensive one. Otherwise, how would we serve them? So, but the second term, the time to came was, you know, the firm was becoming larger and larger. How do we change the governance of the firm to maintain the spirit of partnership and the principles behind partnership and yet be prepared for a much more global, much larger firm? So I set up a governance task force, which was a very different kind of, it was more senior people, but not the most senior people. Okay. So these were not the senior directors, but the directors who were likely the next leadership group in the firm. People who would be succeeding me and so on. So I gathered a group of 20 very high-talented junior directors who formed this task force. And we created a set of governance recommendations. I won't go into all of them, but basically it was designed to, you know, certain principles of governance we wanted to enshrine, like rotation. You know, it had become a little bit static. You know, there were, if you became an office manager or head of an office, you stayed there for a very long time.
It's like tenure.
Like that. And we said, no, I mean, you know, every 5-6 years, we must change the leadership of an office. And in fact, the practice leaders, we said every 3 or 4 years, you should change. And so rotation became part of one of the principles. There were many such principles, governance principles we articulated. In fact, one of the changes I wanted to do was to also have a rotation on managing director. I was 45 when I could do 5 terms, 15 years. That's way too long. You know, if I haven't done what I wanted to do in, you know, 7 to 10 years, I will never be able to do it. So it didn't make any sense to me that. So I imposed a term limit of 3 terms for the managing partner. The board also would be rotating and so on. So that is one of the governance things. But the other was to make, another important one was to make the industry axis and the functional practice axis also as strong as the geographic axis. Mm-hmm. McKinsey First was a very geographically oriented firm. You're head of this office, that office, etc. Now, not only were head of offices important, but head of industries was important, and head of functions like operations or IT, etc. And that created a more complex form because it's a sort of a three-dimensional matrix. But at the same time, it was able to better meet the needs of our clients. So there were, I don't want to go through all points, but the second term was pretty much consumed by governance changes and implementing them and so on. The third term, the main issue there was really the dot-com bubble had burst. And it was, as you articulated a little bit earlier to me, it was a time when it was very tough. We were growing fast and suddenly the music stopped. And we had, normally McKinsey used to get about 2/3 of the offers generally we made. So in
from
order
a hiring to, perspective.
From a hiring perspective. So in order to hire about 1,800 to 2,000 consultants a year, which we did at that time, we would make about 2,700 offers. And so we made 2,700 offers. And the demand dropped and the acceptance rates went up to over 90%, almost 100%. So we got 2,600 people instead of getting. Yeah, no, it was quite amazing. And, you know, this was true of most consultant firms. They managed it differently than we did. We accepted everybody and we created internal projects to keep them busy and so on. And when the economy then took off, we had a bench that was stronger than anybody else because we had taken them all in and not. Anyway, so the third term was pretty much consumed by dealing with post-bubble crisis in a way, managing the firm through those times.
Got it.
I find it interesting that when one moves from a CXO role to a CEO role, one needs to start focusing much more on the balance sheet without losing sight of the P&L. In the first term, Rajat talks about evolving the strategy at McKinsey by involving a large number of junior partners around the world over a prolonged period of time. He sees this as a change opportunity and not just as a strategy development exercise. In the second term, he talks about building structures and governance processes that would set the firm up for the future and speaks about involving junior directors, the future leaders of the firm, in doing so. In the last term, he speaks about taking a cross-cycle view by not firing the talent immediately after the dot-com crash and investing in them, thereby having the capacity to go after the market when the cycle turned. It's interesting to see how there's a long-term institution-building mindset that's embedded in each of the things that Rajat says in the way he went about embarking on each initiative during his three terms. Thank you for listening. For more content organized by playlists and sub-themes, please visit the curated playlist section at playtopotential.com. For listening offline, you can also find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, JioSaavn, and most of the podcast platforms. Do rate and review on the platform where you consume the content if you find it of value. It will help others discover it.